If you'll turn over to see what I say, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll look this morning, again, Lord willing, at some of the comforts of God. And, you know, if you stop and think about it, I know, especially in my own life, I have to look and see, and look around, see our lives are overflowing with comforts of God. And sometimes it's hard to see those. And, you know, especially I know this morning, of course, you already heard about Sister Long, heard about other prayer requests that's been asked. And we have a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations in this life physically, some, a lot of sickness sometimes, death in our families. But also, you know, spiritually too, we have battles that we face. And a lot of times, of course, that's individually. And we know what's going on in our own lives and the Holy Spirit working on us. Then maybe as a family, then maybe as a church, then we still hope and pray as a nation. The Holy Spirit's still working on us. Of course, you know, you wonder about the direction of our world sometimes, a nation. Is there anybody looking toward God, looking toward heaven for direction? So in all of those things, though, we have comforts of God. You can say they were mercies of God as well. And we'll see here just a second, Father of mercies, by all mercy. And that's a blessing for us as we look here and see. And we'll look at a few places where Scripture, where and when Jesus was here on earth, he would be moved with compassion. And that not only applied to that time, as we'll read here in Scripture, but also to now as well. And that he can be moved, will be moved with compassion toward us and answering our prayers. And, you know, I think about this sometimes too. Some people, and I've heard them mentioned, they'll say, well, you know, God provide a comfort. And I say, well, I agree with that. And then sometimes I think what we think that means, and I've been guilty of this, is that takes all your pain or all your heartache or all your troubles, whatever it may be, that they disappear. And so they relate comfort equals disappearing or all that goes away. And sometimes that's the case. But sometimes he gives you the grace to deal or handle with that. And as that maybe trouble continues to grow or something happens within a family, the comfort level goes up, if that's a good way to try to explain that. In other words, he provides more mercy, more comfort, and more grace during that time. And so if it was the case that, oh, well, we all believe in God, God comforts us, everything disappears. And I say that. You say, why don't you tell us that? We all know that. Well, a lot of that's preached today, especially when you get on here on TV about these where they say, send me your dollars, and, you know, you'll get financially wealthy, and, you know, we'll invest it in this, that, and the other. And what brings that up is, I guess that was last week I heard on television. I was on the radio down there. He was preaching and talking about if you got troubles, financial troubles, just step out on that limb and send us $20. And I couldn't believe he said that. Come over radio. He said, send us $20, and said, you'll get at least fivefold that. Said maybe even more, and had somebody come on and said, yeah, I got $1,000. And I was thinking, boy, they need to just get rid of the stock market and just send all their $20 down there to this fellow. Because, boy, he's quadrupling the money for them. Said, forget about retirement. They just need to give it there. And as part of me thought, okay, now, you don't want to think that way because this is somebody preaching. And you think, well, you know. But at the same time, you're thinking on the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, but you know that ain't right, you know, what he's telling them, you know. And then the last statement he made, he said, and if you don't have that $20 handy, we'll take a credit card, Visa, MasterCard, American Express. And I just couldn't, but I thought to myself, and I told Kim, I said, all right, well, Kim is my brother. I said, now, you know, I said, there'll be somebody dial up the phone. They'll punch that number in. And they will. And you know, I just go back, like I said before, a lot of time, what we hear today is social gospel. And I think a lot of people listen to that. And that brought me to the lesson today to think about that comfort. If it worked that way, then that would equal everything would go away. But that's not how it is. That's not real life. And that's not the real Christ. That's not the real Bible. That's not the real and the true gospel. And that at least what I believe and what I think. And I think that's what you think as well. when you hear things like that. Now, does that mean God's not, you saying, well, God's not able to provide you financially? No, that's not what I'm trying to say. He's not able to provide right now. I'm not saying he can't provide that when you need it, and money when you need it, and sickness and heal. I'm not saying that. It's just when you're going out intentionally and saying this equals that, guaranteed. Just send it in, we'll quadruple your money. Or what I say, five times is what he said. So 20 come into 100, or maybe even be 1,000. There's no truth in that, how they find that in the Scripture. Can it happen? Yes, it can. Everything, you know, what was that? Three Sunday nights ago, we had the gentleman from Michigan preach him, can God provide a table in the wilderness? And that's true. Amen, he can. And I think that's true. And he gave examples of that all through Scripture and all through his personal life. But that's different than what I was referring back to. Here I got off chasing that rabbit, but I say that because I really couldn't believe I was hearing that on the radio, that they would allow them to play that. But anyway, okay, let's look here. Here I'm getting back on track here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just be a few verses today, and we'll just, Comfort of God is what we'll title this lesson. I know Richard's always asking me, and sometimes I go back and think. I say, what do you want to title that? So as we'll look here, and we'll go down to about verses 1 through 5, but we'll focus mostly on verses 3 and 4. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. See right there, and we'll continue reading this. But blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And so if you go back there and you look in verses 3 and 4, so we'll spend a lot of our time. God helps us through obstacles sometimes in our lives and troubles in our lives. I believe this, more so now than I ever did, that we may be able to comfort and help others. And that's not only in giving our testimony as Christians and being saved and how the Holy Spirit dealt with us and brought us under conviction and sharing that with others. And I know we do that. We set aside a Saturday, the church does, to go out and visit the community, but we should do that daily with our neighbors and our family and on the job place, wherever it may be. But also there's other tribulations we have in our life too. Maybe sickness, lost loved ones, other ways you may be a comfort to somebody. I know preacher says a lot, pastor does, that sometimes he'll seek the advice of other pastors. And see, that's the way I think that they comfort each other. Pastors maybe do, or evangelists maybe comfort each other. Hey, have you ever ran across this, or this is what's happened to me, or what would I do in this situation? And I think that's a comfort. Sister Long passing, and that family, and her passing, God will comfort them. But there's others that around them that can be a comfort to them that went through the same thing or similar. And God allows us to do that. As we see here, he said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So that's all comfort. That's with everything. Who comforteth us into all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. That means no matter what they've got going on in their life, no matter what affliction they may have, there's the reason maybe why you've went through what you've done or what you've went through. I know even occasionally I'll get a call and they'll want me to go by, and this probably happened just probably a couple weeks ago. And they called me at night from Houston Valley, and I might have told you this already, I can't remember, and they called me and they told me who they were. And I thought, why in the world they'd be calling me at night, you know, Houston Valley? And they said, we got a young man up here that's been diagnosed with a tumor, with cancer. And said, now we got all this secondhand, so if we're mistaken, so we're sorry for troubling you, but it seems like it's very similar to what you had. And they told me, and I said, well, yeah, sounds a lot like it. They said, well, would you take 5 minutes tomorrow come by and talk to this man. So we don't have anybody else around here. Been diagnosed. He's asking all these questions. Got a lot of facing a lot of things. And he said the doctors have said just sometimes how doctors can be, you know, which is fine. They're just real straightforward. And said, this is what we need to do. This is what's got to be done. And that's it. He wants somebody to tell him, you know, all the in-betweens, what it's like. And so I told him, I said, yeah, I'll come by. I'll talk to him. Got his name. Go by and check on him. I thought it might be a time to be a witness to somebody. See if he knows the Lord and ask him what questions he's got about his diagnosis, and et cetera. And I think, and I don't use that example in any way to provoke myself. What I'm trying to say is sometimes our afflictions can be used to open a door to maybe help somebody else. And that not always have to be sickness. It might be financial troubles that you've had in times past, decisions you've made that might not have been the best. Then later on down the road, somebody else might be starting to get in the same situation. You can say, hold up there, fella. Then let me tell you a little story. And you know, I know my dad, people give me a hard time all the time about stories. They said, you relate everything to stories, and I've got these tales. And I said, well, I guess that's because where I grew up, you know, down West Tennessee, up right across northern Mississippi there in that area, in that north west corner of Alabama. I said, that's what you had. You know, any time you live close to a place that's got a coon dog cemetery, well, then you know there's going to be a lot of tales told around that area. And so a lot of things were told that way. And that's how I remember. But you think about that in our lives. We don't necessarily have tales to tell, but we've got a story to tell. And, you know, I talked to a guy not long ago, and he was talking to me about follow-up appointments and going back to the doctor, and et cetera, et cetera. And he said, well, he said, I guess everybody, and he said, all people, I guess, want to leave a legacy. And I thought about that for a while, and I said, no, a legacy. No, why would you want to leave a legacy? So I went back, and I looked what that was, and more like a legend or to be known. And I thought, well, I said, no matter how, and we've said this before, much of a legacy or a legend or whatever it may be, and I'm talking about just in general, you be known, it's only for a very short period of time. Their life is just like a vapor. It just appears for a little while. And as we've said before, your grandkids may know who you are, and they will. Grandmama, granddaddy, whatever. You get to know them, especially if they get to a certain age. But then over time, what about the great-grandkids or the great-great-grandkids? And I told you about my family that came over from North Carolina in 1791, came through the gap here and went on over to West Tennessee, and some stayed, I think, or I kidded around about they stole horses or something, so they run them off. I don't know what happened, but they split up. And see, I don't know what happened. All I know is their names. I don't know anything else about them. And so, see, that kind of washed his theory away, that what we do here is not eternal. But I do think that while we are here, some of the trials and tribulations, some things you may face personally, you face not only to help you grow in Christ, but also to help, that you may comfort and help others through your experiences as well. And so that's why, as I looked this morning, said comfort of God is overflowing in our lives. And so we might say, well, I've got it pretty good now. I don't have... Family's doing good, got a good job, kids are good, and that's good. And you know that might be that the comfort you're able to provide somebody else at this time. Maybe help them with whatever it may be. Because as you look there, it said, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them, which were in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted with God. And you know, this comes up sometimes too, I think, spiritually. Comforting each other, praying for one another. Maybe somebody's got a battle in their family. Somebody in their family's lost. They've been praying for them. Maybe there's a neighbor they're concerned about. Maybe there's somebody, a daughter or son or a mom or a dad has gone astray. They need help in praying for them. I was using examples there before about physical examples and how we hurt. But what about sometimes spiritually? And we're concerned about lost loved ones and want to see them saved before we die, or just good friends that you want to see them saved. You don't want them to die lost. You know how this world, you know, it seems it's winding up pretty quick. You open paper every day, and it seems like, and I remember, and I've mentioned this before, and others have, Preacher Jack that was here, Pastor Jack Sturgill, he'd mention, he'd say, you know, we really live in the best days because we've seen enough of the prophecy come through, true, that God can come back at any time.
Amen.
He can return. And pastor says that all the time. So everything's been fulfilled. And if you're in the Old Testament looking forward, all you saw were these humps, kind of, hills, peaks and valleys. But if you almost think about where we're at today as the church, we could almost, if you could turn time around and us look backwards, we could see Christ's turns could be any time, imminent. And is there some that now are lost that we're concerned about? So we need to comfort each other about those, but also pray with each other about those in our families, or the ones that are lost, or just maybe ones we don't know. That's just not people that you know. I know Brother Wayne goes out to the jail ministry. There's some weeks he goes, I'm sure, and he meets new people. There's people he meets in the jail he's never met before. They may tell him he's lost, but he's concerned about them already. Before he gets there, he wouldn't have went. So I think about that here in these verses. And it goes over into Paul's affliction as we look more in that, and you get into verses 5 and 6 and 7. And we especially get down to verse number 5, says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. And that's also what Christ suffered for us. Died on the cross for us, for our sins, that we might be saved. That there's some sufferings that we have here too, physically, but also spiritually. But also in that, we got assurance that our comfort or consolation also aboundeth. And that word aboundeth means overflowing. It means more than you could ever hope for by Christ as well. It's also where we may have those sufferings or be persecuted for what you believe. Even more so, the love of God, or the comfort of God here, the way you read it, aboundeth, and what the definition here in the word means, more so by Christ. In other words, he's going to give you more grace to overcome whatever you face than what you could ever hope for or imagine to have. And I found a few places here in Scripture, and we'll go back and we'll look at, and I think about sometimes, let's look at sometimes the messes we get into in our lives, but how also God's grace is sufficient to get us out of those. And I picked two examples, and just be careful here this morning. I'm talking to myself. I just talked to myself. Be careful turning these pages. That arm come up there a little bit, and I kind of tilted a little bit there to the left. That'll be all right. I've fallen before. As long as I don't break anything, we'll be all right. And that's the kind of attitude now you got to go about it. My dad always used to tell me, as I'm turning over here to John, let's go to John. My dad, I used to ride motorcycles. My dad, he got us motorcycles when we were, 5 or 6 years old, my brother and I. And they were just used ones, but he was able to keep them running. And I remember he told us, he said, now boys, he said, if you ever get afraid of them, you can't ride that motorcycle. He said, you have a little fear. He said, you need to get rid of it. He said, they was just dirt bikes, you know. He said, if you have any fear at all, he said, you need to get rid of it. He said, you need to respect them. But he said, if you get to where you fear them, you need to stop riding. And I remember I'd hit a car. It'd come around the curve on the wrong side of the road. It was a dirt bike, but I guess it had signals on it so I could ride it on the road. I went by 14, so I hit the back end of it, went flying over the top of it, skimped my helmet up, got some stitches and stuff, but I was okay. But I found out after that, every time I'd come in a curve, my hand, if you know anything about motorcycles, we'd want to reach up and hit that brake just a little. And over the next 2 or 3 years, I got rid of it and quit riding them. I hadn't ridden them since. So I went back to what my dad said. I'd gotten that curve, and I was wanting to just hit that brake just a little. I'd lost my confidence, so to speak. So I say that about falling here. I'm aware that I could fall, but I'm hopefully confident that I won't. But at the same time, if I feel like I need to get set down over there or something, I will. But right now, I'm doing fine. But you know, I just thought about this. Maybe that's why the Lord put that on my heart. That same way implies to us in life, too. Sometimes we go out on visitation. It's another way we can be a comfort to one another. I've told you just before about going out with Brother Wayne, and maybe I'd go to a house or two, and this happened over here off, I can't remember the name of where we're at now. It's probably been 3 or 4 years ago. Rick Hall was with us. Brother Wayne was with us. Maybe it's 3 or 4 of us. We was going to houses door to door. We were knocking on them. And either they wouldn't come to the door when I knocked on it, or they were at work, or I'd look through this door. You know, I could see him. I'd just see him stand back there and stare at me. He wouldn't come to the door at all. And I'd move on, you know, because he wouldn't come. You'd see him in the hallway, and all you'd see is dark shadows in their eyes, and that's all you'd see, you know. So I didn't stay there too long, you know. And I'd move on to the next one. I was getting discouraged. And then I'd look over to the left, and there's Brother Wayne. He's sitting down on the deck eating breakfast with some people. And he'd come out of there talking about the individuals he'd met, and the ladies and the men. He'd go, oh, yeah. And he said, in the next house up, he said, they go to church here and there, and this one and that one. And I remember Brother Rick come across the hill. And he said, oh, yeah. And he said, they used to come to church over there where we're at, but they're going to church now where, you know, maybe a son goes or a daughter goes or a daughter married a preacher, and they go to that church now. And they became an encouragement to me. In other words, I was wanting to hit that brake a little bit. See, I was wanting to slow down, got a little skittish, wanting to say, well, maybe I don't need to be out here visiting. Maybe I need to go do something else. Maybe, you know, lost my confidence, so to speak. But then here come Brother Wayne, Brother Rick, and gave me my confidence back. And they didn't. It was God that did that. But used them to comfort me. Say, well, you know what? You just had the three houses or four or five that God wanted you to go to this morning. He wanted them to go to those others for whatever reason. So I think about that. That's how God works in our lives sometimes. We can get discouraged. But there's always a lesson, I think, in that as well. And that goes back, I guess, the reason why my dad told me that story. It was a lesson to me in confidence. But at the same time, he was trying to help me along the way, too, to keep me from getting hurt. Unbelief of Thomas. So even when we get ourselves into messes, God provides comfort. You'll just look here, just, I guess, in verse number maybe 26 or 27. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. See, I always like that. Peace be unto you. And then right before that, stood in the midst. See, I think, y'all think I've lost my mind. But see, I still think, and y'all have heard me say this before, I think there's like I don't know other way to describe it because it's so far above my way of thinking. There's some kind of interdimensional travel. I see you used to be able to pop in places and pop right out. And see, the doors were shut and windows were shut, way out, and Christ just stood right in the middle of them. And I think that's how we'll be with these new bodies. We'd be able to just zip and go where we wanted to. I mean, I know y'all probably think he's lost his mind. But I think that's how we'll be. That we'll just think of a place and that's where we'll go. And that's the way I see that. See, here it says, Thomas says, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. In other words, he just showed up. So let's imagine 6 or 7 of us standing around, all of a sudden Jesus standing in the middle of us. He just popped right in. And you remember before, he disappeared in that crowd. Just went away. You know, that's another one of those where I think he just zipped right out. And it's so far above our thinking, we just can't imagine that. But anyway, that's not what I want to get to. Verse number 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and ye have believed. So you think about that. Said, even when I say in our messes, and what I mean in our messes, even Thomas, and sometimes we accuse him of doubting Thomas, and that's what you've heard him called, I think, through Scripture. And of course, in Sunday school, we'd always hear that when we were little growing up. But as you go back and you look, said, even sometimes when we mess up, he's got that comfort for us, or in other words, mercy toward us, to say, even when we come back to Thomas here. Let's look at one other place, then we'll go over and look at a few places where he mentions his, I guess, comfort for others above all. And then we'll be finished this morning. I'll look at my time. Yeah, just got a little bit left, and I'll get right out of the way. But let's go over and look at, just right over, since we're already here. I was trying to think of another, but let's look at Peter. So that shouldn't be over, but just, I guess, a chapter over. Should be about verse number 14, 13, somewhere in there, about chapter 21. Let's see here. Let's go to number 15. The comfort. So see, Thomas, he was doubting, as we say, we've heard that before. And of course, he'd said something to the other disciples. Of course, they'd passed that on. Of course, Jesus knew that already. And here's back to Simon Peter's betrayal. You know, we had the gentleman, he's with the Rock of Ages, I think he is, ministry. He'd been down in Rogersville down there, pastor. He preached on this one morning. Talking about Simon Peter said, and related that to our lives. And how much different would we have been than Simon Peter would have been. And I remember he kept pointing to the back there. I don't know if he's pointing at Brother Kenny, who he was. I scooted away from him just in case. I was just kidding. I was picking on Brother Kenny. But what he kept saying is we could have been sitting in the back like that too and something going on up here, you know. Anyway, I remember him using that as an example, and he went to these verses. And we talked about was how Christ turned that around and what he was able to use from Simon Peter after this, how he was able to use him. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verse number 17, he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And so as you go back and you think about it, of course, in Acts, of course, we go right on over into that. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. He was the first to stand up and begin to preach it. And how God used him. You think, but wait a second now. You told us about doubting Thomas and where was his faith. And then God come along and comforted him, had mercy on him or brought him along, right, I guess, so to speak, comforted him. And now he's done the same for Peter. And what Peter has done is actually, so you say, well, wait a second. Said, now he's the one who denied Christ three times that he even knew him. But yet he's the one he used to stand up and to preach that loud. I pictured him as having a thundering voice could be heard. And so as I think about that, as you look, so that's how God has begun to comfort us. But in that comfort and in those mercies that God have on us, we're to use that and those examples in our lives to also help and comfort others. And say, this is what I've done. And again, that goes back to what I mentioned earlier about testimonies of our lives, how we were saved and how God drew us to Him that we might be saved. And we were under conviction. I think that's important for people to hear. I said that before when I was saved, how I would hear before I was saved, how I would hear others when I was dealing with that and fighting that, am I saved, am I lost, am I lost, am I saved, how I would hear others stand up and testify, and they didn't even know it was having any effect on me. And I still remember them standing up, and I pointed some of them out, and I'm thinking, I still remember how they stand up and things they would say. And I think, well, that's just not me. Is that me? Is that right? And see how that influence you can have in your lives on others, but yet it may have come through some type of affliction, some type of pain, some type of suffering, some type of loss that you don't even know how God's working on you. Let's look at a couple other places and we'll be done. And I always, like I said, never like to, I tell you when I watch ball games, I told you my father-in-law calls his wife, which my mother-in-law calls her gloom, calls me doom, calls us gloom and doom. He don't want to watch any ball games with us because he says she and I have always got them beat before they get started. So I always like to try to end a Sunday school lesson, if we can, always. We always need to be rejoicing and joyful if we can. Of course, sometimes it, as we hear with preaching, it points out our faults or at places, I know with me, where I need to spend more time. But in Sunday school, I like to look at sometimes, or finish up with, we look in the Scripture, got a few minutes, look in the Scripture at places that we can finish up rejoicing and just see what God's done. If you go over to Matthew, or you don't have to. I've got a few places here, a couple in Matthew, a couple in Mark, where God's moved with compassion. And it just brings you to the point, is that I guess that was again, about three Sunday nights ago when that evangelist was here, and he was talking about providing, can God provide a table in the wilderness? And we'd heard pastor preach before and others use that three little word in the Bible, but, B-U-T, but God. And so I think about here in these situations, and God's moved with compassion here. So Matthew 9, just a verse or two, then we'll go over into Matthew 20 and a couple places in Mark, and we'll be done. Like I said, try to finish up with something we can rejoice about this morning and within ourselves. All right, let's see here. Matthew 9, verse number 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. In other words, as you look there, look at that fainting, I mean, they were weary, tired, troubled. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's who they were, and that's who we are as Christians, to go out and work and to labor. And of course, that's going over to that verse number 5 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 on how Christ labored, but he suffered also during that labor as the world rejected him. But also, they're not always going to be as friendly to us either as the gospel goes out, and we try to be a witness and testimony and live our lives the way Christ would have us to live. Let's look a couple more places. Matthew chapter 20. You go over there. You don't have to turn with me. I can turn. I'll find them. I'll read them to you. It'll be quickly, and I'll get right out of the way. All right here. Let's see. Verse, let's see, chapter 20, verse number 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, see, the world tried to quiet them down, tried to shut them up, didn't want to hear them. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still. See, anytime you think about it, don't read over that, think about that. And Jesus stood still. In other words, it stopped him in his tracks. He stopped. And called them and said, and I think when he called them, that's just me, I think he knew who they were. I mean, I knew who they were, but I mean, I think by name. Didn't tell us that, but I just won't be dogmatic about that. But it's like if their name was whatever, Brian and Bill or whatever what it might have been, he might have known that. I'm sure he knew that, but I think he called them that way. Stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion. There's that word compassion again. On them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. In other words, he's moved with the compassion. It's a comfort of God that we have in our lives. It's overflowing. It's more grace, more comfort than we could ever imagine. A couple more places I hear the people gathering out front, and I won't spend much time, but I'll go over to Mark, and we'll be finished. Let's see here. Mark chapter 1, and verse number 41, verse number 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Last but not least, Mark chapter 5. We'll go over to verse number, let's see, 17, 18 here. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And he was coming to the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Of course, you remember this. This is the maniac of the Gadareans. And of course, possessed among the tombs, and they tied him with chains and fetters and couldn't hold him. Just a wild man. Of course, he'd been saved. And of course, we think about the legion of devils that went into the swine. Of course, you guys know the story. This is the end of it. And he's asking to come with him. He's saying, Jesus, I might depart with you. I want to go with you. Because, see, he'd changed his life. His life had changed completely. And if, you know, and I know we got to go. But could you imagine living there then, knowing who this man was, a wild man like that, and then all of a sudden seeing him different, sitting at the foot of Jesus, completely different, carrying on a conversation. And you'd be looking at yourself, says, what's just happened? And so you can imagine that man himself saying, this man has changed my life. He's given me something that I didn't deserve. He's completely changed. I want to go with him. So that's why he's asking. So how be it? Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. In other words, no, don't come with me. You go home. So that goes back to that verse number 4 over in 2 Corinthians, I think, where we can comfort others based upon what's happened to us. And there's examples there. We've just given you, I hope, of examples. Well, not the first one. That's when Christ himself, he was able to see the world and why he was here. And, of course, began to call the disciples. But in these other examples of where men could go back and tell others, this is what this man called Christ Jesus done for me. Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you this morning, give you something to chew on, work on. You got a little time to visit.